who doesn't have a home. I don't know if any of you have ever been in that position, but I don't think it would be a comfortable one. We asked him if he was cold. He said, no, I'm okay. And it was pretty cold that night. And then I started thinking, is this our home? Are we home? There's the story of a missionary who came back after 40 years across the ocean. He came back, and as the ship approached the shore, he began to wonder, I'm back home. I wonder who's going to be meeting me. And in the distance, suddenly he could hear a band playing, and he thought, oh, wow, they shouldn't have. So he started down the gangplank first when they reached shore. He was anxious to be home. And somebody grabbed him and said, no, wait, the president's on board. That band is for him. We got to let him go first. So kind of burst his bubble, and he hung back until he was the last one on the boat. And there was no one on the dock to meet him. He used the last of his money to get a cheap hotel room, and as he knelt in the dark, he said, Lord, why was there no one to meet me when I got home today? And in the darkness, what do you think he heard the Lord say? You're not home yet. And that's true for each one of us, isn't it? Home is not just a nostalgic recollection. Home should be, as we can make it, the place where we spend our time becoming like Christ so that we will be fit for home. A real home is the place where morning and evening sacrifice ascends, where our tongues are taught to speak kind words from a dedicated, disciplined heart, where we actively pursue innocence and do everything possible to reconcile ourselves and each other to God. I have a little story here about a home that got a wake-up call. A primary school teacher asked her students to write an essay about what they would like God to do for them. At the end of the day, while she was marking the essays, the teacher read one that made her very emotional. Her husband, who had just walked in, saw her with her head down on her desk, her red pencil in hand, uncorrected essays stacked around her. What happened? He asked. Without looking up, she answered, read this essay. It's from one of my students. So the husband read it aloud. O God, tonight I ask you something very special. Make me into a television. I want to take its place and live like the television in my house, to have my own special place, the family all around me, to be taken seriously when I speak. I want to be the center of attention and to be heard without interruptions or questions. I want to receive the same special care that the TV receives, especially when it's not working. Have the company of my dad when he arrives home from work, even when he's tired. And I want my mom to want me when she's sad and upset, instead of ignoring me and watching TV. And I want my brothers to fight to be with me. I want to feel that family just leaves everything aside every now and then just to spend some time with me. And last but not least, ensure that I can make them happy and entertain them. Lord, I don't ask for much. I just want to live like a TV. As he finished reading the essay, the husband said, "That poor kid, what horrible parents." Then the primary school teacher looked up at him, tears streaming down her face, and said, "What do you think?" "It's our son's essay." That's right, some of you must be teachers. So that is a failure story, but I think it was a wake-up call. I'd like to think of it as such. Then there's a sort of a, well, it's a success story, but I'll have to read it for you to actually believe it. Once upon a time, there was a young woman who was constantly nagged by her mother-in-law, who lived with the young couple. Eventually, the young woman could no longer stand this aggravation and went to the local herbalist for some poison to kill the old woman. After some thought, the herbalist gave her a heavily scented potion and told her that the potion should be massaged into the skin daily, and after 6 weeks, her mother-in-law would die. The young woman did as instructed, each day giving her mother-in-law a massage with the potion. Gradually, the old woman's temper seemed to disappear. Empathy grew between the two women. They began to understand and respect each other. The young woman regretted her desire to kill her mother-in-law, and as time was running out, she became increasingly worried. She returned to the herbalist and begged an antidote to the poison. The wise man smiled and explained that no medicinal antidote was needed. The poison she had been massaging into the old woman's skin was just a mixture of aromatic oils. Is it possible that our earthly relationships are a test of the heart? The heart that will not make it to the real home in heaven unless we are like Jesus. Higher than the highest human thought can reach is God's ideal for his children. Godliness, godlikeness is the goal for his children. And the Rasmussens have a special music for us about heaven and homeland.
Chorus, arise. Do you hear sweet celestial music? Carry that with you. Now, I know none of us look like Sam Holland, whose name is in the bulletin, and I apologize for the mix-up. But what a blessing we have had today, and it's just the beginning. Now we're going to separate for our classes and study why and how we are able to get to this homeland that we've been singing about, thinking about, and we'll be studying about all the rest of this Sabbath day and tomorrow morning and hopefully the rest of our lives. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Dear Lord, thank you so much for loving us to the point where you have done the sacrificing, you've done the planning, you've let us know what we can do to fit in with what you have done and are doing and will do for us. Guide us as we study the lessons that you have for us and assimilate them into our lives, into our hearts, and share them around with those about us. Amen. It's